As the children go out, who's involved with children work, either on a Sunday or through the week? Put your hand up. Can we give them a massive round of applause? Woo! It's not often that we get time to just thank people for the work they do in the church. Isn't it amazing? I mean, I think the work that Nigel and Mary have done, getting the unit by the side there to help with the children's work, wow, amazing effort. I mean, it's great. We do so much as a church, and it's not often we get to stop and just thank people and say thank you for your efforts, for putting in extra time, extra hours to support and to help these young people and nurture them and build them up in the ways of the Lord. And today, that's part of what I wanted to share about, actually, the goodness of God. And I'm going to use one psalm to particularly focus on. But before I do, let me just read this snippet from C.S. Lewis. "But the most obvious fact about praise, whether of God or anything, strangely escaped me. I thought of it in terms of compliment, approval, or the giving of honor. I had never noticed that all enjoyment spontaneously overflows into praise unless, sometimes even if, shyness or the fear of boring others is deliberately brought in to check it. The world rings with praise. Praise of weather, wines, dishes, actors, motors, horses, colleges, countries, historical personages, children, flowers, mountains, rare stamps, rare beetles, even sometimes politicians or scholars, rugby results. I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced and capacious minds praised most, while the cranks, misfits and malcontents praised least. I had not noticed either that just as men spontaneously praise whatever they value, so they spontaneously urge us to join them in praising it. Isn't she lovely? Wasn't it glorious? Didn't you think that magnificent? The psalmists, in telling everyone to praise God, are doing what all men do when they speak of what they care about. My whole more general difficulty about the praise of God depended on my absurdly denying to us, as regards the supremely valuable, what we delight to do, what indeed we can't help doing about anything else we value." And this is the important bit. "I think we delight to praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses, but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed." And I found that quite profound, that praise, it's not merely about expressing praise, but it completes the enjoyment itself. You know, when you've done something, you've enjoyed it, it's been great. It's even better telling people about how good it was, hopefully not boring them. But actually experience it. It's almost like you experience it together. And, you know, in some respects, I wanted to talk about that today. And it took me to my experience last weekend. Now, we weren't able to make church last weekend because I had stupidly, about 6 months ago, through the praise of others in the office, talking about how great it is to put yourself through enduring pain for 6 or 7 hours of exercise, I had stupidly agreed with Joel to do a half Ironman. So this is like an extended triathlon that took me 6 hours and 39 minutes. And I can remember every single minute of those 6 hours and 39 minutes. And here's an image of how it felt for me. So you might not be able to see that brilliantly well, but that's me coming out of the water looking like the end of the world is nigh. And, you know, people said, well, the people holding up banners saying, you paid to do this. On the route, and they were absolutely right. I had paid to put myself through this torture. Why? Well, for this one moment. This was my one moment when I finally got to the end, puffing out my cheeks. I'd accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And did I celebrate? No, I was feeling particularly unwell for at least an hour afterwards. But the excitement came later on when I got to talk about it with Joel and we experienced it together. By the way, you're probably saying Joel was feeling the same. Well, not quite. You can see here Joel enjoying his bike ride. Enjoying a nice, pleasant stroll over the finishing line. So his experience was very different to mine. In fact, he was tucking into Domino's Pizza when I crossed the finishing line and offered me some. And I said, don't show any food to me. I don't want to see food for at least an hour. But it's funny, isn't it, how you know, as you praise, as you talk about it, you sort of enjoy it all the more. And in many respects, that's what it's like with our worship. You know, when we come together and we worship, and we'll see this in the psalm that I'm going to read, we learn to enjoy God together. And isn't it a wonderful thing, enjoying God? Do you think we do that enough as Christians? I often think of my own life that you know, it almost feels dour and depressed every time I'm thinking about the impact on church and the way that church is purported and the misery that the world purports around the church. But actually, we have the full enjoyment of God, and we get to experience that enjoyment day after day, despite this horrendous weather. Actually, I've done a fair bit of traveling of late, and I've had a couple of weeks where I've been back and forth to our office in Spain. And you know, we get a couple of weeks of sun a year, don't we? And you know, those couple of weeks of sun, I was chatting to someone yesterday, those 2 weeks of sun in the summertime, everyone just feels so upbeat, and you do so much. It's like your life becomes an outdoor life all of a sudden. And obviously, it's not been the greatest weather the last few weeks, and flying over to Spain, coming out of the airport, going into the office in Spain, it's like that all the time. And I was just thinking, oh man, how do we live on this island for like 50 weeks of the year experiencing this weather? We must need God. Absolutely. You know, that's our only hope with this horrendous weather that we've experienced these last few weeks. So I'm going to read you Psalm 34. So here it is. And this really inspired me as I was focusing on the goodness of God and learning to enjoy Him and praise Him forevermore. So, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to Him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints, for those who fear Him have no lack. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous and His ears toward their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of His servants. None of those who take refuge in Him will be condemned. Father, we want to thank You for Your Word, which is Your living truth, active and alive in each one of us, Lord. And as we study Your Word more and more, Lord, it reveals new things to us all the time. And it's amazing, Lord God, that perhaps for some of us who've been reading Your Word for so many years, You still reveal Yourself to us each and every day in new ways. And Lord, I pray that will continue all the more. As Your church, we want to know more of You. We want to go deeper into relationship with You. We want to understand what it means to be Your children, Lord God. Father, help us today as we try and unpack this particular passage of Scripture, Lord. Help my words to be helpful to the congregation here, to my brothers and sisters, Lord. Would we be open to You to move in mighty ways in our lives? Lord, today is a new day, and we look to You for guidance and inspiration. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us on our journeys today. In whatever way You need to speak to us, I pray that You'd speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start with praise and thanksgiving. At the very start of that psalm, it talks about at all times, always, praise and thanksgiving. It's a lifelong commitment, all times. It's not always easy at all times to be blessing the Lord, but actually I find moments of the day or moments in my life where I can focus more easily. But at all times, in all ways, we should be actively seeking to bless the Lord. That's what we are made for. We are made for worship. We are made to bring glory to our Maker. And in bringing glory to our Maker, that brings enjoyment and satisfaction to us. It's so great. It's like the act of giving, isn't it? Particularly at Christmas and at birthday times. It's so much more enjoyable to give than to receive. And when you see the smiles on the face of those you love opening a gift that you've prepared for them. We've just had Emily's birthday over the last few days. Whew! I used to think that the first few years, you know, the parties, as you had all the kids from the various different, from the class, you know, all come along to a party, it'd be 2 or 3 hours of chaos, 20, 30 kids doing whatever it might be. I used to think that was mental, that was madness. Now the parties seem to go on longer. There's less of them, but they're longer. So Emily's party started, I think it was about 6 o'clock, was it, on Friday night, and finished at about 10 a.m. on Saturday morning with a sleepover, and I had to move, the life group had to move all the furniture out of our front room to accommodate the various different tents that were installed in our living room. It was madness. I'm so grateful that Becky was able to look after that whilst I enjoyed staying away from whatever they were enjoying downstairs. But they were making a noise, they were having a good time, they were having fun. But it was great to see the enjoyment on Emily's face at the gift that we'd given her, gift of this birthday party that we'd given to her. She wanted to have her friends around and enjoy time together with her friends. And it's great to see that when you're able to give. You feel blessed, you feel uplifted. And how much more so when we give to God, when we give of ourselves to Him. That's what He asks, that's what He desires, all of us, to come with everything we have and lay it all down at the foot of His cross and give everything over to Him and bring glory to His name. And we're to have pride and humility, boasting in the right things, boasting in Him. There's an encouragement for us to be humble as we come before Him. Let the humble hear and be glad. That's what the encouragement is to us. And in verse 3, then, it goes on to talk about worshiping Him together, which is the daily act. I've put there worship. You may have seen that before, worship. The daily activity of my life reveals the worth of the God that I serve. So when we worship God, we are proclaiming or giving Him back His worth. That is what we're doing through our worship together. It was great to worship God together in song and in praise and adoration today, and to hear the testimonies and the prayers of what God is doing in our lives. Isn't that great to do? How little time do we spend together doing that? We have a small amount of our weeks, of our days that we spend together proclaiming the goodness of God together. And it's a great encouragement. I go away on a Sunday morning encouraged because of the joy of being together and bringing Him the worth that he's deserving of. He is worthy of our praise, isn't He? He's so worthy of our praise. You know, I love to have times of worship together. I love having times of worship on my own as well, but it's so much more inspiring when we join together and you hear the different gifts, the different ways that people see things, the different lenses that people see the Bible through, the ways in which God is motivating people in different ways, the testimonies we hear of what's going on in people's lives. All of those things inspire us to give even more back to God. It's a great act of encouraging one another because, brothers and sisters, our world is all about putting people down. Isn't it? You only have to turn the TV on or engage in conversation. I was engaging in a conversation last night, and the person who I was chatting with said to the other person, "Why are you belittling the person over there? Why are you bringing them down? Why are you saying negative things about them?" And I thought, gosh, that's one of the first times I've ever heard someone stand up and say, we should be encouraging one another in a non-church setting. And I was actually encouraged by it. I thought, that's right. We shouldn't be negative about one another. We need to praise one another because it's so easy, isn't it, to get to slip into negativity and to slip into slander and malice and putting people down. It's an easy worldly trait. But we, brothers and sisters, carry the key of encouragement. We carry the mission of positivity and lifting people up. We all need it, don't we? We all need it. When someone comes and encourages you, it feels so good. I was actually encouraged yesterday after losing a tennis match in the final to a young 17-year-old lad who is pretty good, I must confess. But he's obviously a lot younger than I am. And we were playing doubles, and afterwards he turned to me and he said, "You are moving a lot better than I've seen you move before in the past." I didn't know quite how to take that. I thought, well, I have just done 6 months worth of training for a half Ironman, so maybe I am moving a bit faster. But I took it as an encouragement. Oh, I'm moving quicker. It didn't help. We still lost. But anyway, it was nice of him to encourage me. It was nice of him. You know, he's 17 years old. He doesn't need to encourage someone who's more than twice his age. He doesn't need to give me a compliment, but he did. And I felt encouraged by that. It's great when people encourage one another. That's what we're called to do, brothers and sisters. We're called to bless the Lord and exalt His name together and bring glory to His name, magnify His name. In Psalm 145, verse 3, it says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Most worthy of praise. I was reading a little snippet from John Piper. I like to catch up with a number of different Christian authors, but I was reading a snippet from John Piper, and he was talking on 1 Peter 2, verses 2 to 3, you know, the verses where it says, like newborn babies, desire the pure milk, the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. And he had an interesting take on this in terms of the word, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. He says, what this means is, if you've tasted in and through the word the precious kindness of the Lord to you, then you're not coming to like this. You're not going to come. I'm saying, come drink. And if you've tasted, you'll come to church, friends at church, good reputation in the community, but you're not coming to him. You're not drinking, you're not eating, because you've never tasted. This taste is everything. This is what the new birth gives you, a new taste. Natural people don't want to read their Bibles. Spiritual people with a new taste want to read their Bibles because they love Christ. They love the kindness of the Lord. They get up in the morning and they need to feel the kindness of God. They can't live without the kindness of Almighty God on them. It's draining out like a leaky bucket. And so the Bible is the only place I can taste that he might be for me today. I have to be told again by an authority above me that he's for me again today. That's the way that spiritual people live, by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Isn't that so true? You know, we can come to church to experience the great social activity that we have. You can enjoy we have some wonderful cakes, we have some wonderful coffee. It's pretty good, I think. We have a nice environment, it's nice and warm. You can come and enjoy all that. But if you're not coming to church to enjoy him, there's no point in being here. We come to church to enjoy him. That's why we're here. That's where our eyes should be focused. And I have to pray forgiveness every single week that I get distracted by that, by the things that might go on in and around us. You know, there are so many distractions in our normal life, let alone on a Sunday morning. You can be distracted by them. But we don't come to church for those things. We come to church to worship him, to give him the glory. That's why we're here. We get to join together and raise a shout louder than any other shout in the whole earth that says that God is king above all, that he's saved us, that he's redeemed us, that he's given us a hope. And that is why we're here today. We come for him and him alone. And in doing so, it's a massive encouragement to one another. And we build one another up. And I go away feeling alive and ready to go again, ready to fight the fight with my brothers and sisters. And, you know, as I go through my week, if I contemplate how much time I spend with non-believers, it's way, way, way more. A much greater proportion of my time is spent with non-believers than with believers. What a mission field we have. What a mission field. We spend so much time with non-believers. And so when we come together and we re-energize one another, we encourage one another, we're ready to go again back into the battlefield. And that is our call from God. That's what God has called us to do, to be a shining light in the darkness. So the second part of, I'm going on a bit too fast. The second part of these scriptures in Psalm 34 is that God answers prayer. And boy, does he answer prayer. Psalm 66:19 says, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. You know, God hears and answers our prayer. In verse 4, it talks about David seeking God and God answering and delivering him. It goes on to say, we should look to him. And as we look to him, we are therefore unashamed. Because as we look to him, he gives us all that we need. Verse 6 talks about calling upon his name, and he will hear us and save us. Then we're encouraged in verse 7 to fear him, to come before him with reverence and awe. And the angel of the Lord, and I love this bit, encamps around you. Do you know that today? In your deepest hour, in the darkness at night, when things are going through your head, when it's difficult, when times are tough, do you know that by fearing the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around you? That's amazing. That's amazing. I have to try and repeat that to myself when I'm feeling stressed or under pressure or in difficulties or burdened or feeling down. I try and turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that the angel of the Lord is encamped around me right now. I know that as I go into whatever I might be going into, but I know we've all got very different lives and we all do very different things, so I'm sure what's on your mind now might be very different to what's on my mind. But I know we've all got things that go on in our lives. We're probably praying right now for some problems and difficulties. And I just want to pray right now. I know my brothers and sisters are all going through so many different things in our own lives, Lord, whether that might be personal, maybe it might be family, it might be work, Lord. Whatever it may be, Lord God, would you come right now? Lord, would you hear our prayers? Lord, we're encouraged as we look to your scripture that you answer prayer. Lord, you hear us. You hear our voice right now. Lord, as we lift up our thoughts and prayers to you, Lord, would you receive these prayers? Would you receive what's on our heart? Lord, in this week ahead, I'm certain that there are things that are coming up in our lives right now. Right this moment, there'll be things that we're thinking about that are perhaps difficult, that perhaps feel, how are we going to accomplish them? Where there may be issues and problems in our lives that are clouding our thoughts right now. Lord, would you deal with them? Lord, would you come and you take them away? I pray right now that you would break into the lives and the hearts and the minds of my brothers and sisters. Lord, would you bring a peace that transcends all fear? Lord, come, Lord Jesus, I pray right now. Would you fill us with your peace, that we would be equipped and ready to go for the week ahead, whatever lays ahead, Lord, that you are with us. Lord, as it says in your word, that the angel of the Lord encamps around us. Amen. Lord, there is power in prayer. There is power right now in prayer. And I know we pray for people and situations, but God hears our voice. I always find that fascinating. It's difficult to explain to the children, isn't it, when they say, Dad, but how does God hear all of our voices at all of the time? I don't understand. And you have to sort of turn back and say, well, I don't really understand either. But he does. He hears all of our voices. He hears our simple prayers. When I'm lying down and putting my youngster to bed, Bethany, when she's going to sleep, and we pray a prayer, or we tell a funny story, or we commit something to God, God hears that. God hears her little voice as she prays her little prayer, whatever simple prayer it might be. God hears that. From the very youngest to the very oldest, God hears our prayers. That is so amazing. That is so amazing. In a world that's clouded with noise and so many things going on around us, you only have to look at your phone and there's so much stuff coming out of it all the time hitting us nonstop. We can turn to God. And he hears our cry from deep within. He hears our prayers. And brothers and sisters, if God answers your prayers today, please text, send a message, tell us what. I love to hear answers to prayer. We have a life group, WhatsApp group. I'm sure others do. And when we hear answers to prayer, when we're receiving various different messages, it's so good. Even through the week, you just look down and you see God's doing something in someone's life. How encouraging is that? It's so amazing. Let's not be afraid to proclaim the goodness of God in all that he's doing in our lives. So we're going to move on now to the next section of Psalm 34, fearing the Lord. Okay, so a verse from Hebrews to start us off then. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. We are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You can't shake our kingdom. You cannot shake our kingdom, the kingdom of God that he's given us. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You know, in verse 8 of Psalm 34, it talks about taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, that's what we're encouraged to do, to taste and see. Do we taste and see enough? I say this to myself first and foremost. Do I taste and see that the Lord is good? I'm going to give you a little example. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Time goes by so fast. I think it was 2 weeks ago. I was going down to London, and it was an early start on the Monday morning, so I drove down to Becky's dad's house to stay over. He wasn't actually in, so it was a bit of a short stop. But I left home driving down to London at about 8 o'clock on the Sunday night. So I had about 3 hours in the car, traffic dependent and roadworks dependent, but it looked like it was well set for 3 hours, and thankfully it was a good journey. Got in at about 11 o'clock or so. And then the following night, I was doing the reverse journey, coming back pretty late at night again, and it was around about 3 hours. So in total, I had 6 hours in the car. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not the most excited of drivers. Driving isn't really my thing. If I can avoid driving, I will. I don't mind doing it, but I feel it's like a waste of time. And I was thinking, I've got 6 hours in the car on my own. What am I going to do? There's no sport to listen to. It's quite late at night. There's nothing to do. and it's dark, and I'm just on the motorway going in the same direction. A couple of signs every now and again go by. There aren't that many cars on the motorway that late at night. It's not really that fascinating or exciting. So I thought, well, what am I going to do for the 6 hours? Can I use it in any way? And I thought, I must confess, I do love technology, but I'm probably slightly behind many people in use of technology. So I thought I'd try the, this is no plug, by the way, for Amazon Audible, but I decided to download Amazon Audible. I'm sure there's equivalents elsewhere that are just as good. But anyway, I decided to download this onto my phone. So basically it meant that I could download a book and have it read to me. I thought, great, 6 hours. So I chose a book. And I thought, well, gosh, it's going to take longer than 6 hours for this book to be read, so I'll put it in double time, because you can speed up the voice to make it go quicker. So I set off on the M4. I can't understand what's going on. It's like someone shouting at me for a continual period of time. So I thought, that's not going to work. I managed to sort of set it about 1.25. That's just about manageable. I could then listen to it and go at a reasonable pace and got through the whole book. So I had 6 hours and got through this amazing book about being astonished by God. And it talked through so many great principles, and it really, really helped me. And I'm coming, so you know, on the way down, I'm feeling really pumped. I'm feeling excited, and I get into Becky's dad's house, and it's 11 o'clock at night. It's pitch black. There's no one around, and I may as well just go to bed. So I went to bed and woke up the next morning thinking, well, that was quite good. I quite enjoyed that, and looking forward to then doing the reverse journey. And as I'm doing the reverse journey, I'm sort of heading around the M25, and the M25 is not that enjoyable, really. It's a bit of a boring section of the motorway, and I'm getting quite excited now. You know, this book's really encouraging me, and I'm feeling psyched on the road, which is probably not a sensible thing to be doing, really. But anyway, and as the journey progresses along the M4, I'm really going for it. I'm praising God. I'm singing. I'm giving everything. And I've had times of great worship with God in the car. And again, I'm not advising it. It's just not necessarily a sensible thing to do. I was obviously fully focused and concentrating on the road, I might add. But I've had great times. But this was particularly powerful. Felt really, really powerful. And as I was coming into Cardiff, I was melted. I was in tears. And I was just thinking, God, I just want to serve you, Lord, in whatever way, whatever time, wherever I might be. I just want to serve you, Lord God. I'm going to give you my all. I'm starting to feel tired now. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's been a long day, been a long night the night before. Starting to feel quite exhausted, but I'm saying, Lord, I want to serve you no matter what, no matter where I am. And don't you just know it? It's those moments, and God goes, are you sure? I'm thinking, yeah, Lord, whatever you need, whatever time, I'm ready. I'm here for you, Lord. I'm going to serve you. Are you sure? I'm thinking, yeah, I'm here for you, Lord. And I drive around the corner onto the A47. You know, if you come off the M4, go on the A47. As I drive around the corner, A470, and Andy knows what's coming now, I look over at the other side of the road, and I think, oh, someone's broken down. That's unfortunate this time of night. And I thought, well, that's not. There's nobody around. It's just an empty car. I thought, oh, gosh, that looks a lot like a red Saab. And I thought, oh, Joel drives a red Saab. Driving closer to it, oh, there's a bike rack on the back. Who is going to be driving a red Saab in Cardiff with a bike rack on the back? And it's a, what do you call it, convertible Saab. It's got to be Joel. And I'm thinking, you know, the car's abandoned, so I'm sure he's okay. I'll give him a call, because I feel, you know, God's encouraged me. So I call him, and he says, ah, James, Andy and I are just going down to get the car now. I say, well, I'll come and help. So I'm in, I don't know what I was in, like some jacket and not at all kitted out for helping someone with a car. But I decide, right, so I drive around and I'm really stirred and encouraged. And so I come around the corner and Andy and Joel are there trying to hook Joel's car up to Andy's car. And, you know, truth be told, I was quite tired and I was ready to go home. But I felt, you know, I want to help. I don't think I was actually that much help. In fact, it might have been easier if I wasn't there. But I like to think I might have had a little bit of encouragement to the two of them as they were hooking things up to Andy's car. And I might have even used my iPhone torch or light at one stage, which may or may not have been helpful. I might have shone it in their eyes. Anyway, the point being, and I drove up and down that little stretch of A470 for what felt like about half an hour. Anyway, long story short, it was a moment when I felt God saying, be ready. Be ready. You know, God can call us into service at any point. Are we truly ready to take the opportunities that God presents to us? And I know for myself, I'm not. On so many occasions, I get home and I think, oh, Lord, I could have said something to such and such a person. I could have done something. I could have helped there. Why didn't I do it? And you can spend so much of your life beating yourself up about missed opportunities. But brothers and sisters, let's not do that. Let's just think about what God's got ahead for us. You know, there could be some opportunities this afternoon to go and help, to serve him. And I want to encourage us to serve him. And in verse 10 of Psalm 34, it talks about, seek the Lord. Those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And I link that very much to Matthew 6:33. Seek first his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. You know, seeking first his kingdom is so important in reprioritizing our lives. I look back over my last 6 months and it has been a very, very hectic 6 months. And I like to be busy. But I have to question myself at times. Am I doing the right things? Am I committing to the right things? And that often involves me sitting down with Becky and saying, oh, you know, have I got things wrong? And I do. I make big mistakes. I spent a lot of time in the last few weeks winning pointless trophies, which mean nothing. But in my mind, it seemed important at the time. But they're things I enjoy. I enjoy doing those things. So it's okay to do those things. It's okay to invest time in other things. That's fine. You know, God loves us. He gives us. He treasures us. You know, we can enjoy the delights of our hearts, as it says in the Psalms. But at the end of the day, it's about seeking first his kingdom. And that's about reprioritizing our life all the time. And that's what I'd encourage us to do, brothers and sisters, to seek first his kingdom, to prioritize him first above all other things. In verse 13, it talks about keeping your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking evil. Think before we speak. Think of words of encouragement. Be positive and uplifting to one another. It's so, so easy. I remember Becky saying when she was teaching in secondary school a few years back that, I'm sure it was one negative comment is worth 10 positive comments, or you need 10 positive comments at least to cover off one negative comment to young people. I thought, gosh, that is remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. I think if you employ that in the office, you know, office talk particularly can be so negative and harsh and critical. And I very rarely hear people talk praise towards one another or to send a positive email. And I was sat on a train this week. No, it wasn't a train. It was a plane. I don't know. I've been all over the place. But I was on a plane. I was thinking of a colleague who'd helped me. And she didn't really need to help me, but she'd helped me with a particular project. She'd really gone out of her way. And she's quite a senior person within the organization, and I'm sure she probably gets an awful lot of abuse and problems from people. People obviously criticize her, I'm sure, at times, because she's quite a senior person within our organization. And I thought, you know what, she's helped me with this project. She didn't need to. So I decided I'm going to send her an email. And I sent her an email and just said, look, I really want to, I wouldn't normally say it, but I really want to thank you for putting in the time and effort to help me with this particular project. You didn't need to, but it had such an impact on my team and the people around, and we've come to what will probably, hopefully, be quite a successful conclusion. And this was quite an important project, I might add as well. It wasn't something that was meaningless for me. It was quite an important project. And she'd gone out of her way to help. And I just wanted her to know that I was grateful. And it was a very simple, quick email. Wow, the email she sent back. What an email. She said, I'm so amazed that you'd send an email like that. Thank you. I don't ever get comments like that, and I'm looking forward to working with you on such and such. And I, gosh, didn't think it would have such an impact, but it was just one little email, one little comment, and it has such a profound impact on those around us. Let us be encouraging people. Let us turn from evil and do good. Let us seek peace and pursue it. That's what it says in verse 14, to not only seek peace, but pursue it as well. You know, peace is so important in our lives. There's so much disruption to the peace around us. And the final part of verse of chapter 34 of the Psalms is in regards to the Lord caring. You know, the Lord cares. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. That's Psalm 102, verse 13. And cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Cast your cares onto the Lord, and he will sustain you. Verse 17 of 34 talks about, as the righteous cry out, the Lord hears and delivers them. And I've found that to be a fundamental truth in my own life. I know that when I pray through work issues and problems, that the Lord hears me. I know he does. I know he's there for me. And that helps me because I can come before him with my work issues, with my family concerns, with friendships and other relationships, with church life, with my neighbors, with my colleagues. I know that God hears my prayer. And God calls us to be persistent in prayer and to continue and press in. And that's what we've got to do with one another. We've got to encourage one another to pray. Pray all the more. Don't stop praying. And then in verse 18, he goes on to say, he's close to the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit. So even when we're perplexed and pushed down and crushed, God is there. He's ready and able to meet us and intercede. Praise him that he sees the hurt and pain in the world. He's not a distant God, but he's close and intimately acquainted with all of our ways. God cares for us. You know, in verse 15 of chapter 34 is a verse that's very well known to Becky and myself. The eyes of the Lord. Are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. And that was a verse that Becky's mum had on the bathroom. And whenever I was over at their house, I'd see that verse, and it would be a constant reminder that the eyes of the Lord were towards me, and his ears are attentive to my cry. And that was like a constant reminder. We need these little reminders. It might be little things like that, but a little verse like that, and it captures your imagination. In a strange location. Don't know why it was in the bathroom, but it was in the bathroom all that, nonetheless. But it would capture my imagination. It would remind me that the Lord cares for me, for us. Isn't he a good God? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. The Lord is our rescuer. He's our deliverer, Christ the deliverer. He's our protector. He's our redeemer. He's our savior. This is who God is. You know, we must never lose sight of the fact that God is all these things, but yet he cares for us. Right now, I know that God is at work in your life. He is at work in your life. Whether you know it or whether you don't, God is at work in your life. He is actively helping to change you to become more like him. You may not know it or feel it, but he lives to intercede by his Spirit. God lives to intercede by his Spirit into your life. Not just our church life, but your life personally. He lives to intercede by his Spirit into our lives. And I want to encourage us with three things as we finish this morning. One, that we would taste and see that the Lord is good. That would lead us to respond in praise for his goodness and for his kindness towards us. You may have things that have been spoken over you over many, many years. You might have things written in your Bible. You might have certain things that you have written down over many, many years. Recall them. Keep telling yourself them because God loves you. And three, be expectant and ready for God to move right here, right now, today, this moment now. We're going to go back into worship now. If the band want to come back up, we're going to go back into worship. God can move right now. There can be something you're praying through. God can move right now. If you need him, God's here right now. By his Spirit, he is active and alive and working. He is our deliverer. He is our rescuer. He's our protector. He's our savior, and he is our redeemer. And that's why we praise him. That's why we give him the glory, because he's worthy of the praise. He's given us so much. He is a good, good father. Lord, we want to come back in worship and praise to you this morning, together, corporately, as your church, as your body, and give you everything we have. We give you our all. We love you so much, Lord. You've done so much for us, and yet you're doing so much in our lives right now. In this church today, 2019, you are here, active and alive in this church. In these neighborhoods, in these streets around us, Lord, you are active and you are alive. You are at work through your people, Lord God. And we are your people. We are your vessels, Lord God. And we call upon you. We cry upon you, Lord God, to fill our lives again. Would you fill us to overflowing, Lord God? Would you cause us to praise your name more than ever before? Lord, would it flow out from us to the streets and to the cities and to the work colleagues and neighbors and people around us? That you are good, that you are a good, good Father, that you're a good, amazing God. You are so, so good. You're abounding in loving kindness and faithfulness to all your people. And Lord, we want to lift up your name and praise and shout aloud that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Savior, that he can change lives today. Lord, you can change lives today. You can unite families, Lord God. You can restore people's lives. And we praise you, Lord, that you would do this, Lord God. We're amazed that you do this. We're amazed by your Spirit, Lord, that is at work in each one of us. Lord, we pray, come now as we respond in worship. Come and fill your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.